Today we'll look at the fort. We have looked at the framework, we'll look at the foundation, we'll look at the fastener, okay? And today we'll look at the fort. Okay, basically all the outside we have given, even the thing that hold the family together, the fastener. What are the three fasteners? In terms of interrelationships, the wife to the husband is submission. There's one tendon, one fastener. And the husband's love to the wife is the fastener. Okay? Cannot be replaced. Sometimes husband, sometimes, okay, I buy things for you. I work hard for you. I give you the money. You know, that's actually, that is not what wives are looking for. Of course, that gives security. But it's really to know that someone loves her. Okay? And it's very interesting. Remember Javier, the wife? Remember Javier yesterday? He said, well, it makes me look so rich. You are rich. And the riches wasn't in financial terms. I felt that was very wonderfully placed. He says, you have children who love you, and you have a wife who adores you. You're rich. Okay? Right? And for children, the fastener to the parents are obedience. Okay? And it does help. Through the obedience, as you're able to interact, your relationship is built as well. Okay? So we have the framework, we have the foundation, we have the fastener. Now we need to look at how we're going to protect this from the enemy. Okay? Singapore was known in World War II as the what? By the British. The what? By the what fortress? Impregnable fortress. Singapore was known by the British or by the world, or at least to the British people, as the impregnable fortress. Why? They were just at the end, and all along from Thailand, Malaysia, all that, their British forces all the way, all along. So what they did was, okay, this part is covered. We point all our guns behind Sentosa towards Indonesia, thinking that Japanese will come from the other side. All right? And of course, Yamashita was laughing at them and saying, ha, ha, ha. They just swim across into Singapore and took over us. Singapore was known as an impregnable fortress, but it fell. That should teach us a lesson already. Okay, man, when a man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. I had one teacher, not teacher, my boss actually. She was driving, she lived in Woolworths, so he gave me a ride home. It was one time. And to her, she believed, I told her that family is actually like a glass ball. You need to treat it carefully. Because once you break, once you drop, it breaks. But to her, she's not a Christian now. Huh? To her, a family is a rubber ball. Because you drop, you can just bounce back. I believe God has put some resilience in families to hang together in times of crisis. But sometimes it's only in times of crisis that they hang together. The rest of the normal times, you don't see that bond. Some people say, oh, that's the most important. Yes, it's true. In crisis, we need to bond together. Can I say this? Over time, the bonds actually get looser and looser if you're not careful. Okay? Satan's number one strategy, wouldn't say number one, one of Satan's very powerful strategies is to destroy the family. Because if he knows he can destroy the family, he's very smart. He will destroy maybe two persons in the family and everyone is affected. Especially children. Okay? And that's why it's very important for us to know how to build a fort around our families. Okay? A few verses I'd like us to turn to. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. These are both biblical and practical tips, all right, for us. How to build a fort around our family. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we need to know the enemy. Okay? We need to know the enemy. And who's the enemy? Okay, let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse. Wait, let me just get there first. Okay, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, ready? 1, 2, go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to learn how not only to build a family, but how we can actually protect the family as well. Lord, even as we go through this short message, or this message on the fort of the godly family, help us to realize, Lord, that it's not just about building, it's about protecting as well. Because we do face enemies that's much more powerful than ourselves. That without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious word, His instructions, His commandments, Lord, we will fall prey, as did many before us, as will many after us, who will not listen, Lord, to the counsel of the Word of God. And I pray that every family represented here, Lord, will begin in their hearts to at least make a decision to start building the fort to protect, Lord, the most precious gift they will ever have on planet Earth, given by God, their families, the children within the family and each other. The Lord, as we grow, we will grow in strength. I will thank you, Lord. Speak to us in a powerful way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the Bible says be sober, be vigilant. Okay, the word sober means be serious-minded. I know of fathers and mothers who don't take their family seriously. They go to work lah, you take care lah. Then the mother, okay lah, I just go. And just kind of, the children are kind of just left to fend for themselves. We need to be serious-minded. Remember what Adam Mitchell said yesterday? I keep referring because it's a common reference for us. He says, Shane was telling him, I think you're a good enough father. He said, that's precisely it. I don't want to be a good enough father. And then after he studied, he felt that he was only doing 50% of what he should be doing. Okay? Be sober, be vigilant. Why be vigilant? The word vigilant has the idea of, not paranoid, nah. Vigilance is different. Okay? We need to be vigilant because there's an adversary, an enemy. And this enemy is relentless. This enemy doesn't sleep. When we are sleeping, he attacks. Okay? He is the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. If we're not ready for him, he'll fight us. And he will get us. Okay? A roaring lion intimidates. Apparently, they're saying a roaring lion doesn't come and bite you. Usually the older ones. Okay? These are the older ones. However, what the roaring lion do is to intimidate so that we'll run in the direction of a herd of lions that will devour. Okay? The reason why we need a fort is actually to protect. To really protect our families. Okay? And it's very important. So today we're going to look at a few things we need to do as Christians to actually protect our family. Many families have fallen, therefore we need to build a fort. In soldiering terms, every soldier needs to know what he or she is supposed to do. Point number one, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 5. I'll give you these points. Number one, in order to build a fort, we need to build a fort of personal growth. Personal spiritual growth, okay? 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 10. It is an important passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. Okay, let me just read through, underline it if you like, because what Peter goes into is actually saying what are the steps of personal growth you have to go through in order, he mentioned at the end that you will never fall. Okay? And beside this, beside having faith, giving all diligence means putting in the effort. The word diligence had the idea of straining, okay, to the point of perseverance and straining. Put all effort, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. There are seven things we need to put on. We need to add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Okay, we won't go into a lot of detail into a specific, it's actually a whole message. But we need to add in all this. Okay, obedience is virtue. Knowledge is a knowledge of God. Temperance means what? Self-control. All right? Patience is endurance. Self-control and endurance is two different things. Okay, self-control is when things happen to you, you control yourself and you don't burst out. Endurance is actually running the race. Okay? And then to endurance, godliness, becoming more and more like Christ. And then after that, brotherly kindness, how you treat Christians. And finally, how you love unconditionally, charity. All these things, because in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's happening to many Christians? They hear the word of God, but they have no fruit. Their character doesn't change. Their attitude doesn't change. The way they speak doesn't change. The heart for people doesn't change. If that doesn't change, then it's going to be tough in the family. For example, let's say if I've always been a man with bad temper, let's say. But the word of God is I am a pastor for 10 years and my children are all afraid of me. They're afraid of me because I'll shout at them, I'll get angry at the smallest things. You know why it discourages them? But it shows that I have no fruit. There's no growth in my life. Character must change. Okay? But in verse 9, he that lacketh these things is blind. If you don't have these steps of growth in our life, we are blind and we cannot see afar off, meaning that we can't see the fact that one day we are actually going to go to heaven, we're going to see our Savior, and we are going to be purified. A person who does not put these things are only living for the moment right now. And if we're just living right now, we have no plans for the future, you know what's going to happen? We will have no plans for our children's future too. Spiritual future I'm talking about. We all have insurance, we know what we want our children to do, but spiritually, if as a dad or a mom we are not growing, our children will not grow spiritually. Okay? And have forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. This is referring to a Christian. In other words, as a Christian, we may not grow. We can still be saved, but we may not grow. Okay? Verse 10, therefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Fathers and mothers, please understand, like our children fall with us. We are the ones that drive the family. And if we are not growing personally, our children will fall with us. Because they look up to us. You know how much children adore their parents when they are young. Or when parents do not take the conscientious effort to grow personally, over time, the children begin to see sights of parents that they may not be very comfortable with. And then over time, they begin to get discouraged because those, by the way, for parents to understand, children's understanding age of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is different, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, is different, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They are growing. Sometimes we treat our children as static and they'll always be the same. No, they won't. They will change. And this is the reason why many parents can manage their children at 1 to 8. But after that, they have a hard time. You know why? They think their children will always stay at 8 years old. And I think the behaviors and the areas, the management strategies they use at 1 to 8 can be used at 8 to 16. No, you can't. Because children are growing. Okay? Just like as a church, when we only have 8 people, very easy to manage. Remember when we started church, every time we started the church, we actually had dinner before. Only 8 people, huh? Well, 8 people and 80 people are 2 different things. Can I have dinner every time? I cannot afford to cook for 80 people every time. So we change strategy. Just bring a bit. We have to change. And children don't remain static. Their information that they receive increases year by year. Not only that, attitudes that they receive change year by year. Perspectives that they receive change year by year. And their own intellectual development changes year by year. The way they perceive 8 things at 5 is different from 8, different from 12, different from 16. As parents, we would do well to seek very much to win the heart of the child first. Because once the heart is won, you can grow, you still have an ongoing relationship with your child. Does that make sense? And that's a very important truth. Because if, as parents, when we grow, we will never fall. That's what the Bible says. And when we are able to stand firm in the trial of life, our children can see that. And because we have been being with them all the time, it helps the child to have a firmer foundation. Okay? One of the 4 police officers was actually paying alimony, right, to Shane. He was separated from his wife, but he does try to spend time with the son. What was the son's attitude when he heard that dad was arrested. Luis, do you remember? Remember when the police officers arrested the officer? Right? What actually, then this officer who was arrested had a son, right? What was the son's heart when he heard that his father was arrested? Can you remember? You can't remember. Okay, remember there was a mommy and then I think that was probably the mom, then the child, and then Adam Mitchell. Remember? What was his attitude? What was the son's attitude? Disappointed. Think about that. Our children fall with us. Literally. Okay? Having said that, can I just encourage us? God does have his plan and grace. But you know what? We need to grow in order to prevent ourselves from reaching a point that we will stumble. Okay? May I encourage us to constantly be reminded we need to build a fort in our own life in order to keep our family strong, the fort of personal growth. If you will not, if you're not growing as a Christian, over time, you will find the way you deal with your child when he was 2 will be the same you do at 12. You would have lost him. Because why? Your children is growing. And you know, increasingly, you need parenting children is easy. In a sense, I'm not saying it's totally easy. I'm saying at least you hit their backside or you do the simple things like wipe their backside. That's fine. But when you hit 13, 14, 15, you're not just dealing with cleanliness. You're dealing with the cleanliness of the heart, the influences that come in. And how are you going to work with them? Okay? So that's one. Build the... So practical things that need to happen for these children. We need to grow in daily Bible reading. We need to grow in our own prayer life. We need to grow in our witnessing. These are all just practical, biblical things. And we need to grow in our attendance at church. And our children, if they know that that's a priority, then we need to walk that path as well. So that, I've told many families in the past, don't just bring your children to church. Go with church with them. So that they can see that if it's important to mom and dad, definitely it's important, then I need to put in the effort to do so as well. Okay, any questions? Okay, the next one, number 2, the first one is the fort of personal growth. But number 2, tell you the fort of family devotions. We've been doing this. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Okay, the fort of family devotions. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. 8 and 9. Family devotions. Let's read together, right? 7, 8, and 9. Ready? 1. The fifth book of the Bible. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. You ready? 1, 2, go. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Okay? If you look up to 4, 5, and 6, it's called the Shema, the Israel Shema, which is that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. That reflects our personal relationship with God, which I started with, personal growth. Okay? Then after that, you're supposed to teach your children. You're supposed to teach children. But God has to be in our hearts first before we teach our children. And I mentioned it before, you can't give something you don't have. If you don't have a relationship with God, and you tell your children to have a relationship with God, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work, because you're not transferring life. Understand this, parents, when you are teaching your children, it's life transferring to life. Whoever you are, your children will become. You know, I've learned in my own life the reality of that. And there's certain bad habits I can see in my children too. Because it's life transferring to life. That's why we need to change so that we can be more like Christ, so that our children have the opportunity to become more like Christ. Okay? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice the word diligently. Moses taught the children of Israel, take the effort to train your children. Teach them diligently unto thy children. How? When you talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when you're having your dinner, sitting down, talk about God. Talk about maybe your child may be experiencing some difficulties in school. Pray with them. Tell them some Bible principles that they can use. For example, if a friend offends them and they feel very bitter about it, teach them, well, God says to forgive, you know. Understand them, speak with them, and insert God's principles. Okay? When thou liest down, when thou risest up, verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, they shall be frontlet between thine eyes. What they did was, they actually bind. Sometimes they'll tie little cloth, kind of, you know, just helping you to remember the reminder. Basically, God says, on a continuous basis, on a daily basis, tie them. Basically, I don't think we want to walk around with 10 little pieces of cloth on our fingers today, but really God is saying, bind those words in your heart. So that everywhere you go, you can share with your children. Okay? In verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Everywhere your children need to see the word of God in action through your life as you teach them. Okay? It needs to be a daily time in the word of God. We need the thought of family devotions. I can tell you many Christians, probably about 80 to 90% of Christians' families do not have family devotions. And they still expect a child to grow. That will not work. It just will not work. Family devotion time is to train and teach a child in the word of God. Not for the children to do their own devotions, you know. They're separate. It's for like what you're doing right now at home to teach. That's dads to actually actively teach the children. Small point, it doesn't have to be a whole message or theological discussion. That's a small point. Like today we talk about, what do you talk about today in your devotions? Forgiveness, just a simple lesson. The lesson is what? Forgiveness gives people a chance, actually, to change. That's why we forgive. If you condemn, then the child is stuck. If you use it in the context of a family, some children just don't grow in a family. Why? There's always been condemned. But when we forgive and don't bring it up again, the child is given an opportunity to grow. That is the learning lesson, right? Forgiveness. All right, number three. The fourth person grow for family devotions. Number three, the thought of service to God. Service to God. Okay, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. Grow my service to God. But in the Bible, it's actually broken down into three areas. Okay? Rather two areas, but we can actually apply them variously. Okay? In Galatians 5:13, you can jot it down as a point. I'll just read the verse. Okay? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Paul was speaking in the context of the Galatian church and saying, because you are set free by Christ, you are free. But Paul says, look, just because you're free, don't use the freedom only for yourself. Use love to serve one another. That's in the context of the church. Okay? When we build the thought of service to God, we want our families and ourselves to serve God through the local church by love. Okay? Service is important because it also involves serving one another in a family. One of the lines of the song just now is, where each finds joy in serving others. I mentioned this before in a message sometime, whereby, you know, in our church actually, you know, many times when we want to do something for someone in the house, when we see something not right, we say, hey, I thought I asked you to do this already, what? Then the person say, I did! Why are you like that? I do for you. That the joy is not in serving one another. But sometimes we do take We just take for granted that it's brothers and sisters or mom and dad. It's just part and parcel, you know. No, it's not. But over time, it can actually generate bitter feelings that can actually potentially break the family. Okay? Whereby we need to actually learn, God, I'll do for you. Tete, I'll do for you. And you do it out of a heart of willingness. Because the scriptures teach us to by love serve one another. Especially in the local church, we serve God by serving others. Notice this, Many people say, oh, I serve God, but don't talk to me about doing this. God's indicator, okay? Your, what do you call that? Your yearly appraisal is your what? Your, sorry? Yeah, well, yearly appraisal, different. You and your boss will talk about yearly appraisal, right? Okay. You know how God appraises us? He sees how we actually serve one another. Because he's when you say you serve God, God says, when you serve people, you are serving me. Please understand this. Sometimes people in the name of spirituality, I'm serving God, but I can't stand that person. Doesn't work with God. Okay? When God says to serve Him, it involves serving people. And your family members are people. Okay? So when we serve God, essentially we need to learn to serve even the people in our homes, to love them. By love, servant. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16:15. I show you literally a person who loved the church so much, okay? And God actually used him as an example. 1 Corinthians 16:15, let me just read. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, the household of Stephanas, the family of Stephanas, that it is a first fruit of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Yes, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. So the household of Stephanas have addicted themselves to taking care of Christians. Because it says what? They have addicted themselves to the ministry, the service of the Christians, the service of the saints. In other words, during that time, understand the background, they are traveling preachers and things like this. And they made it their house ministry to take care of these people. They've addicted themselves. If they see a Christian family who's preaching the gospel, hey, come, stay with us. And they are so involved in God's work by taking care of God's servants. In verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us with us and laboreth. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas. Once again, Paul mentions this household, the coming of Stephanas. And interestingly, Stephanas is the father. Usually you say, this is Johnny's family. This is Brother Henry's family. Okay? Right? Generally lah. Okay? It's no disrespect to the wife, but it's generally in cultural address. Say, this is so-and-so, who is the head of the house, the family. Household of Stephanas refers to the father. And Paul says, I'm glad that Stephanas himself is coming. Referring to that the father, who is in charge of the household, Paul is very glad he's coming. Why? Because he has been involved in serving God in the local church. Okay? What did Stephanas do? Look at verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul says, look, this father has been a blessing to me. Of course, I'm using the context of a godly family here. But you know, Stephanas, the head of the house, was also involved in serving God. And Paul says, he has been a blessing to me. But you know what? Just one more verse. Another family, the churches of Asia, salute Aquila and Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So another family, Priscilla and Aquila, actually had a church in their house, a small group. And by the way, the houses, during that time, the houses is only half the size of this room. Okay? The houses in the first century, it's only half of this room. Okay, how would you like to live in that kind of room? Okay, in some countries, I think in the Philippines, some houses are so very small. Right? Yeah, I think some in China as well. In Taiwan, 他们的屋子也是挺小的. Some of it, those church, in the early church, they only had, in fact, you know where does it work? You know G12? FCBC, Faith Community Baptist Church, this G12 movement. Okay, you know why? Because the houses can only accommodate 12 max. Okay, of course, not, probably a bit smaller than what I said. Okay, that's why they have 12. But you know what? God wants us to be actively involved in serving God through local church. Your children need to see that we are active in serving God. Otherwise, their heart is more towards the world. Okay? So we need to be building the fort. In other words, in our life, basically what I'm saying is all these things have to be, in order to build a strong fort to protect your family, because when you're serving God, you have little time for other things that will distract you away from God. Many children loiter. Many people hang out and they waste time, literally. And God will actually hold the teenagers responsible for the time they waste. But as family members, we can give them aims in life that they can work towards so they can grow and it will benefit their lives, okay? Be actively involved. Another fort you absolutely have to build, the fort of love. Okay, we talked about that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the passage on love. Okay, the fort of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. Remember, love is not a... Love can involve feelings. Okay, there will be an emotional part of love, but love biblically is a choice made by the mind. I shared this before, maybe for the benefit of those who are new, I don't know whether there was one time a Woodlands Wellington soccer player, many years ago, during a soccer match in the, what league is that we have? S-League, right? Yeah. I think he was playing against another team. I can't remember what team. Which team? Whose team? Oh, that team. Oh. Oh, dear. It's an infection of... Oh, my. Puns. Okay, I'm not playing against that team. Okay. Okay, but anyway, this Woodlands Wellington soccer player was playing strike, and he was actually bummed and he fell and he fractured his spine. Okay, he fractured his spine and he was immediately sent to A&E. He was in ICU for at least 2 or 3 months and he was due to be married. His fiancée came and in the restricted times, They are Indian, so they're not Christians. But they say, the husband, when he woke up, says, please don't marry me because you're going to a life of, you know, I think you understand the trouble and the finances. And basically, I haven't started my life with you. I have to take care of you the rest of your life, you know. You know what the wife said? We agreed to marry you. They still went through with their marriage. Because love is a choice. Genuine love is a choice. God chose to love us when we were unlovely. This love part, sadly, many Christians sometimes mistake the love of this world for the love of God. The genuine love of God loves the unlovely. That's why Jesus was willing to die for all. And God insists within the family for us to have that kind of love. Because it's only that kind of love that can tolerate the, I use the phrase loosely, nonsense. sometimes a family has. But yet it is God who says, if you have my love, you are able to love each other. And God gives indicators of that love. In verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, 4, charity suffereth long. That's the first thing. It's very enduring. Suffers long. Is kind. The word kind means always aim to profit someone else. Kindness, for example, if the Singapore Kindness Movement, you do things to profit someone else. Oh, he's a kind man. The word kindness means to profit someone else. Charity envieth not. Envy is a very, very serious problem. Because envy can actually lead to you wanting that person. How can that person have promotion I don't have? I'm going to make sure I'm going to say bad things about him in front of the boss. Envy leads to that kind of behaviors. Okay? But genuine love doesn't envy. If he got promoted, amen, you know. I'm going to say this, sometimes it might be hard. If in a family, if maybe the older sister receives a new handphone, what would the younger brother think? How come he have, I don't have, right? Listen, genuine love. Sorry, again? Everyone say, "Well, we say not fair," but you know what? We need to grow in that, and parents, we need to teach that. You know, okay. But genuine love actually will say, "Dad, thank God for your new phone." You know, yeah, I'm glad that I know it, Brother Johnny. That's ideal, right? That's God's love. You know, sometimes it's hard even for adults. Not fair. How come he's promoted? I'm not. But when the Bible says envy, charity doesn't envy. If that person's life is enriched by a new gadget, if that person's life is blessed by a promotion, even though we don't receive it, genuine love will say, thank God. Sometimes we say, thank God. We will be a struggle in our hearts. But because God says, I want you to obey me, that actually helps us to learn genuine love. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, he doesn't show off. It's not boastful. Vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Puffed up. The idea is, I may not say, but you know, have the idea of pride. Okay? Doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, always behaves appropriately in situations. Always considerate of other people. Even though you may think otherwise of this person, you will not behave in a way, you will not say things, even though it's the truth about someone else, if it actually will affect this person. Because genuine love will behave appropriately. Example, let's say you know that this person, the teacher who doesn't know the background, say, wow, this person is very hardworking, you know. But in your mind, you know he always skive. Let's say that. Genuine love will protect the reputation and will just keep quiet. Okay, unless your opinion is asked for honestly, lah. Okay? Does not behave in assembly, seeketh not her own. Genuine love doesn't seek its own. This world does. I was sharing the devotions. Love of this world is always very selfish. I will love you when I get something out of you. I will care for you when I get something out of you. Not God's love. I don't care if you give me anything, I'll still take care of you. That's genuine love. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. In other words, don't get angry easily, literally. Thinketh no evil. And it is hard because sometimes you know this person wants to do bad to you, but in your mind you say, no. One of the things I've learned over the years of how to deal with this, even when a person does something or offends me, I will always say this. The person didn't mean it. Sometimes it's hard. But I'll say the person never mean it. Okay? Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Beareth all things simply means no matter how much wrong in the family, I will still endure. Please understand this. Many times I've seen this happen. People will say, I just endure, Lord. I just endure, Lord. When you say that, you know what you're doing? We are actually depending on our own strength. And just endure. I've heard some wives say, I just have to endure, Lord. When you have that attitude, one day you'll be defeated. Why? Because just endure. No, you need to firstly make sure you spend much time in God's presence. Because without God's strength, you cannot endure in the right way with the right attitude. Many people endure families with a wrong attitude. And they'll say, I'll just go through. When it's time for me, I'll just go through. When you just go through, you can go through with the wrong attitude. It doesn't accomplish what God wants to accomplish in our lives. But when we say, God, you know, it's tough. But God, I want you to change me as I go through this. And you go through it with the right attitude, you actually become a stronger person. In fact, you become so strong, God uses you in turn to bless the person who is taking advantage of you. And you know what? That might change the situation. Beareth all things, believeth all things. What believeth all things means, even though you see something against you, you say, no, I still believe that this person didn't mean it. In other words, you give the person the benefit of the doubt. That's what the scripture says. Hopeth all things. Genuine love always hopes. Have you heard? Sometimes as parents say, yeah, this child is useless. One. No. Can I say this? Parents should never, 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 ever say our children is beyond hope. Because that's not genuine love. Genuine love always says hoping to the end. And even the very last breath, they might still change their mind. When our child sees us loving them like that, it is irresistible. You know why? It is only God's love that can do that. Okay, let's keep going. And charity endures all things. Well, love must be in the family. And it's not your love. If it's only your love you're banking on, if you think love doesn't consist in material things, love consists in us giving our hearts to our children. And that's sometimes hard, but we need to do that. We need to build that fort very strongly, all right? The fort of love in our family. The next one, okay, let me practically just talk about love. actively seek to bless your family each day. When you wake up, think of one thing you want to do to bless family. Practical, right? Say, today I'm going to, maybe Louis have track and field, but then dad has to attend a very important meeting. You will try to talk to your boss or you try to schedule it. Of course, if you can't, then there's no choice. But if you pray, Lord, help me. And it could be that, okay, if you can't come, you come at a certain time. He said, could you rush down just to be with Louis? And I'm sure Louis will be very glad to see you. That kind of actively seeking to bless. Okay? Do not bring up past mistakes, sins, and wrongs. Amen? In counseling sessions, this is one of the things that always come up. God says, cover the multitude of sins. Last time in the past, my personal persuasion last time was, you need to deal with everything. Now I realize, deal with everything, you dig up more things. I've learned, forgiveness is just wipe the slate clean. Let's start again. Okay? Do not bring up past mistakes. See, 2 years ago, you never made it. Now you throw never made it. Yesterday, you never cleaned the toothbrush properly. Okay, you keep bringing up. If you bring up the past, you'll be living in the past, basically. You need to move forward, okay? Do not bring up past mistakes, sins, and wrongs. Okay? Next point, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. So this is part of love. Sorry, this is part of the examples of love. Practical actions we can take. Okay? Practical actions we can take. So do not bring up past mistakes, sins, and wrongs. Forgive quickly. In other words, the moment the person do wrong, say it's okay. Practice saying, it's okay. Admit it with your heart. I can tell you, you move forward very fast. Because, of course, if there's implications, you just deal with the implications and move on. And there was one, you know, I mentioned before, if a husband made a big boo-boo, let's say he lost $10,000 or something like that, let's say. And the wife is like, you know what wife will do? Why are you so silly? Why you did this and that and do and that? You what happened, what, right? You know why? You can say, okay, you just lost $10,000. Okay. I forgive. Okay, husband, what are we going to do about it? Let's. Okay, what's the way forward? No, honestly, of course, if you drop it, then please go away and find out. Husband will take responsibility. And by the way, when the wife forgive, husbands, we also need to take responsibility for that. Say, look, I'm really sorry. We need to take our responsibility. I like what Nathan Hayes mentioned to, remember they were at the shooting range. Being part of a man as you grow up is to learn to take responsibility. If you lost $10,000, do something to retrieve it. Yes. Accidentally. Accidentally, yeah. Okay. I think intentionally or unintentionally. Okay. Oh, okay. Then No, I'm not. It is okay. In that situation, I'll give my input lah. You all can add in, okay? I think firstly, when it comes to money, there is a large sum. Husband and wife need to talk. Agree? Even at the point of, almost persuaded. Nice, I make my face more glowing. No lah, actually, I need to talk to my husband first. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Did I say wrongly? Sorry? What did you say? Amen. Okay. Let's go. Sorry. I do nicely first, then you see it's nice, then I'm making it doing nicely for you. Yeah. Okay, the first thing is actually, one of the things is, yes. You okay? Okay. Okay. Okay.
For guys also, sometimes this device is like,
yeah. I think that the practical principle is actually when in doubt, don't. Under pressure of time, we'll oftentimes make the wrong decisions. Okay? As a principle of life and decision making, if you find that this sales, you only have until 1 hour, then you go. This is the last, you know, they always say this is the last day. I saw one shop, closing down sale. Okay? 5 years later, the sales guy was still there. Okay, yeah, correct. So, I think in that situation, to be fair, I think because of time, is already to run. In decision making, in this kind of, these are little situations, that will probably happen. I think we have to actively probably look at, let's say if the money has been spent already, based on the principle, husband will just forgive quickly and maybe just have a heart-to-heart talk with the wife and say, maybe next time, let's talk it out. I'm sure it make you more beautiful, but, you know. Both ways. Just now you're talking about the woman spending the money. Yeah, la? Yeah. So, probably from a practical perspective, but usually that. I think the initial attitude at the beginning of knowledge of the crisis is very important because that will determine how it's going to go. If it's really something's happening, you don't know how to think, guy. You know, okay, let me help you. Once we have that attitude going down, the relationship is not. But forgiveness is very important because you have to deal with the attitude of how am I going to go forward with this? Am I going to still retrieve the money but with an angry attitude? Or am I going to say, right, we're forgiven, our job right now together, let's try to see what we can do. And really work together. Okay, if the lady or the man do that, I can tell you, you put a lot of shame and embarrassment on the other party. Because, hey, I've spent so much money, this guy is still trying to help me to get it back. Okay, so but I think the principle I'm talking about is forgive quickly. Yeah. Can I say this? Money can be earned. Money can be earned back. We all make mistakes. But the relationship with husband and wife, the children also. Some children may spend a few hundred dollars on something which you could get $10 down the road or something like that because they didn't know. All right, of course, the parents can get very angry. But of course, money can be earned back. The relationship, once cracked, will take a lot more time to repair. So in those situations, I think we can actually learn to talk. That's where love endureth all things. That's why God says love and genuine charity beareth all things, including a loss of a few thousand dollars on an unintentional package. Okay? Sometimes just let it slide. Really. Put it this way. The Lord Jesus Christ He didn't let it slide, by the way. Jesus paid. By the way, please understand this. Huh? The person who actually lost that money, understand the person who forgave actually also is willing to put the loss on himself. Whatever mistakes in life, there's always a payment. It depends on who pays. Okay? Alright? We can discuss this more over lunch after this. Yeah. Okay. Forgive quickly. In a family mass, you must forgive quickly. And with a genuine heart, I love you more than a few $1,000 package. Think about that, you know. Put it this way, you've already given your whole life to this person. Then your wedding package is more than this $1,000 package. And sometimes over the smallest things, we can break up the family. You've already given your whole life, man. By God's grace, make it work. And God says, number one principle, if you don't remember anything from this camp, just learn it. Forgive quickly. Because it will save you a lot of heartaches. And you can look at the person and say, I still love you. Let's move on. Okay? If there are other side issues that we can talk about for lunch. Okay. Another one, for the offender, ensure that your attitude is that I'm grateful for your forgiveness. And in John chapter 8, verse 11, that Jesus told this lady, go and sin no more. Okay? So which means that I understand I'm forgiven. Lord, give me grace not to repeat the same offense again. Okay? Well, Henry, it was you, huh? Huh? Okay. Okay. Forgive quickly, all right? Forgive quickly. I mean, I'm glad for that. Okay, the next fault you must have in your family is a fault of prayer. Okay? Every family must have a prayer fault. Okay? A prayer fault is your powerhouse generator with God. All right? Some families don't pray at all together. They all pray, but all separate. We need to come together because there's unity in prayer. All right, there's power in unity in prayer. When the entire church came together, the whole church, the foundation shook in Acts chapter 4, and God answered their prayer and gave them bonus, okay? Family must pray together. Must. Without us. Satan wants you all to do your own devotions. Keep separate. Do your own thing. Because he knows that if you guys come together, he can't fight. It's easier for him to fight one by one. It's very hard for him to fight when the whole army is against him. Does that make sense? And everyone committed to one objective, to glorify God and to get God's blessings. All right? Family, some have bigger families, but you know, you still have to come together. Okay? In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, 32, let me just read there. The Lord said unto Simon, Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to Simon, said, Simon, Simon, referring to Peter, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. The word sifting is very interesting. The word sifting has the idea of destroy, crush. All right? When they actually beat out the wheat, they actually crush, do some crushing to get out the wheat. Right? What he's saying is, look, Peter, Satan has desired you to crush you. Basically, crush you. But you know, in verse 32, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Okay? For parents, my encouragement to you, always hold your children in your hearts. Of course, they are in your hearts, but hold them in your hearts with prayer. Pray for them in every step. Satan desires them to crush them. If for a teacher, perhaps for those people who are, pray for the students under you. Pray for the unit, for example. Pray for each one of them. Okay, for Sunday school teachers, pray for those under you. Okay, but in the family, pray for one another. The next fault you need to, this is a big one, control. The influences that come into your family. Okay. Three verses I give you, maybe I'll get maybe Jairo, if you can turn to one first test, Romans 13:14. Yeah. Which one? Control influences, sorry, that come into your family. Control influences. Stop laughing, Tim. Control influences that come into your family. Okay, Romans 13:14. May Edward, if you can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Then we'll all turn to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Okay, these three verses. Control the influences that come into your family. Romans 13:14. Shara? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Don't give any opportunity for anyone to fulfill the flesh. All right? Okay? What does it mean? It means... how long more, huh? But this is our second last point. We have 10 minutes. What's the verse? Romans 13:14. Okay, the next one is 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain. Stay away from. Avoid all appearance of evil. We mentioned that in our church with regards to computer games, like Assassin's Creed or Transformers or whatever, that some Diabolos, for example, the computer game is so devilish. It's an appearance of evil. God says stay away from it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:33, we're all there. Let's read. Ready? 1, 2, go. Be not deceived. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 15:33, all right? Ready? 1, 2. Those who are there, let's read it. 1, 2, go. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can have the most prim and proper daughter, but you put them in a pack of people who are corrupted. Let's give them a few months. Daughter will become like them. The things that you read on a daily basis, the things that you see on a daily basis, the people you're with on a daily basis will become, whoever, the Christian will become like them. Okay? Unless you're very clear in your hearts of your stand in Christ. And as a family, control the influences. What are some influences that come into our families?